Please be seated. Have you ever noticed that whenever and wherever we meet Jesus, whether it be in Scripture or the street or in our community, he always wants to resurrect somebody? Yet many of us choose not to be resurrected. We all think we have good reasons. Pontius Pilate didn't because of his desire for power. For the Jewish leaders, it was the need to have everyone think like they thought. For many of us, it's the fear of letting go of the routine, the safety, and the luxuries we have grown accustomed to. Churches as well have any number of reasons for not being resurrected. We might offend some of our neighbors, our members. This isn't how other churches do it. We've always done it this way. We've never done it this way. The church always needs resurrection, but never more so than at the beginning. Early on that first Easter morning, the disciples were the world's most lifeless church. And once again, a woman grabs our attention, and we listen attentively to what is happening. Mary Magdalene does not appear in John's gospel until she, along with the other Marys, appear at the foot of the cross. Her place in the story is spectacular. She is the first apostle, the apostle to the apostles. Mary Magdalene was the first to go to the tomb. She went to the grave of the finest person she had ever known. It was still dark when she got there. She wasn't even sure why she'd come. When there was finally enough light to see, she was devastated by what she discovered. "Oh no, not this. Not only have they beaten and murdered my Lord, but now they've stolen his body. How could they do this?" Mary Magdalene, we are told, spent most of her life too broken to fix. Looking for light in the darkness, more dead than alive, Scripture says that Jesus healed her not from one or two, but from seven demons. He was her glimmer of hope. Now, she doesn't have any hope. With tears in her eyes, with fear and anger, Mary runs from the tomb to tell the apostles what has happened. Peter and John race back to the cemetery, but don't see any reason to hang around. So they go home, and Mary stays. And she cries. What is she waiting for? What does she hope to see or hear? Mary watched Jesus die and saw them bury him. He was dead. She stays at the tomb because she has nowhere else to go. She looks into the tomb and is unimpressed by the angels. And then someone speaks. She doesn't recognize him at first. "If you're the gardener, tell me what has happened." Then Jesus speaks her name. In a simple word, a single sound, darkness becomes light. Despair gives way to hope, and life overcomes death. When Jesus calls her by name, Mary is transformed from the last mourner in a dead church into the first witness of a living church. She has been resurrected. Mary runs to tell the church to wake up. "I've seen the Lord. I don't care how dead you think you are. Jesus is here and he wants to resurrect somebody." In a wonderful poem, "The Wreck of the Deutschland," Gerard Hopkins uses the noun Easter as a verb. Hopkins writes, "Let him Easter in us." It is a wonderful phrase. It is a beautiful prayer. Let him Easter in us. In fact, I think this is a great way to look at the real truth, the transforming reality of Easter. Let Easter get into us. Let Easter come and dwell where we live, right here, right now. Let Easter permeate our souls. Let him Easter in us. Isn't that really what we hope for, long for? Not Easter as a noun, a long ago event, but rather Easter as a verb, something that transforms our lives, something that gives us new life now, something that gives us hope and meaning and courage. Isn't that what our hearts long for? Let him Easter in us. There's a story of a school teacher who was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital. And she received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child and study nouns and adverbs. When she got outside the boy's room, she realized that it was located in the hospital's burn unit. And she was not prepared to find a young boy horribly burned and in great pain. Yet the teacher felt that she couldn't just walk out, and so she spoke. "I'm the hospital teacher, and your school and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." The boy was in so much pain that he barely responded. The young teacher stumbled through the English lesson, wondering why she put him through such a senseless exercise. And the next morning, a nurse on the burn unit asked her when she came in, "What did you do to that boy?" And before the teacher could finish her outburst of apologies, the nurse interrupted her, saying, "You don't understand. We've been worried about him, but ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as if he has decided to live." And the boy later explained that he had been completely given up hope until he saw the teacher. It all changed when it came to a simple realization. And with joyful tears, the boy said they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy who was dying, would they? Jesus is present in the hope we feel. He wants to resurrect us, to help us understand that it is Easter now. This is the moment of a new creation. This is the first day of God's new week. The darkness has gone and the sun is shining. Let him Easter in us. Alleluia. Christ is risen.